Dark wings.
Dork words.
A Game of Thrones podcast.
Season 3, episode 9.
The Reigns.
Oh, God. No! Why?
Holy shit!
That's right, Mike. The Red Wedding. It happened. It went down.
It was very red.
This is like the biggest spoiler we had to suppress as book readers.
Yeah.
So the Red Wedding. Let's just get it out there, you guys. Craig, you were misty-eyed.
You can't prove that. I'm getting sick.
That's
it's
true.
Not, it's not that.
It didn't hit me emotionally. The gut punch wasn't there. I mean, it was when I read it the first time in the book, and then just that sick feeling the second time I read the book. This time I was just like I was scrutinizing the scene too much,
looking who's looking suspicious, when's it gonna start,
how they were gonna let this sort of streamlined version of it, because it unfolds in gory detail and there's so much foreshadowing and just I got a bad feeling about this kind of thing happening all leading up to it when you read about it in the book.
So I guess we get the doors closing and this one is kind of the first.
Yeah, they made
first hint that something's wrong.
They made Catelyn kind of hyper aware, I think, because
she's always been
what tipped her off the very first time when she started to looking like kind of R-y?
Well, you know, it's one of those. It's interesting. We haven't seen much of Catelyn at all this season. But in the books, everything you see of Robb Stark is through Kat's eyes. She's the POV character that follows that group of characters around. So I think that some of that maybe just grows from the way the Red Wedding is portrayed in the books. It's all through what Kat sees and what she perceives. So they kind of took us back to that, I think, for this episode, which is pretty cool. But, you know, like leading into it, some of the key foreshadowing things from the books, like Grey Wind being like visibly agitated all the ride up to the twins, and there, you know, that's something that this is just kind of lost in the show, how much the direwolves are with their Stark siblings.
Yeah,
you know, the two of them are never seen apart.
We got a lot of direwolves to tonight's episode, actually.
And
three of them.
I mean, we did kind of get the two Freys coming and visiting and offering, you know, saying that Lord Walder would like to have Edmure come and marry one of his daughters to kind of make penance for what happened. But there's even more of that in the book, like the sort of the party of Freys that rides out to kind of escort them up to the twins.
Right, and there's a weird really vibe right there.
There's a weird vibe with them, yeah. Like one of them is overly sort of gregarious, and the other one is like really black-tempered and clearly.
Yep. Yeah, I remember that from the book.
Just kind of shooting daggers at everybody, and then they make a whole big fuss about the direwolf can't come into the castle. We're gonna lock it up outside, and Kat, I think, is like, "Don't. Grey Wind is always at your side. Don't let them part you from your wolf." And Rob's like, "No, no, no. We have to play nice. This has to go well." So we kind of missed some of that too, and the Great John, Lord Umber, has been AWOL this whole season, and he's the character that he like goes down. It takes like a pile of Freys on top of him to get him to go down when they attack.
Right.
It's Bolton's men that turn on the Stark men. It's pretty much as is portrayed here, but you know the show has to emphasize that Bolton is treacherous to the point where he's the one that plunges the dagger in him. The Lannisters
send their regards
or whatever. Yeah. That's like heavy-handed, but whatever. I mean, it's getting the point across. In case you didn't know, Roose Bolton is a douchebag.
Yeah, it got me well enough. I mean, you know, I can only imagine what someone who hasn't, you know, just doesn't know anything. It's Ned Stark times three again. Maybe not quite times three, but it's an unbelievable tragedy. And I'm waiting for my actually have my phone not on, like I can't hear it, but I have it facing me because I can't wait for a text message from a friend of mine who is just watching it right now, I think. And I'm sure she's just going to be like,
"Oh,
what the fuck? Call me right now."
Oh, my God. I think that lots of fans are...
Yeah. For people who haven't read the book, they're probably just sitting there right now with their jaw drooling on the floor, puddles of drool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, just like when Ned died at the end of season one, I mean, this is like this blow hurts even more because this is like 2.5 books or, you know, 3 whole seasons in of identifying with these characters and everything. I mean, when Ned died, it was a shock and everybody loved Ned, you know, but, I mean, everybody's like extra rooting for Rob because he needs to get vengeance for Ned and all the hopes of the Starks are riding on him all this time. And you just can't believe you build him up to be, you know, the savior. And I mean, he's had a hard slog of it this season. Things haven't been going well. So that makes you root for him that much more. Like going into this, God, I hope it works out with the phrase, "Oh, just swallow your pride and suck it up so we can stick it to the Lannisters."
Yeah, well, the Elder Frey is being a complete jackass to your wife, but you got to be cool because you're in his house. You need his help. You're about to ask him for a favor.
And he knows he can get away with it, and mm-hmm. he milks it. But that also leads you to believe that, okay, he's going to go through with the wedding. It's going to be okay.
He's just going
to
be a dickhead.
He had his chance to be a dickhead. It's not going to get worse than that. We can make it through this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so he was shrewd enough to know that he could be a dick. Like, he didn't have to, like, go out of his way to make them think everything is going
to
be okay.
Because they were going to concede to... They knew he was going to be a dick, and they were going to concede to whatever he said just because, you know, he wants the army, so he's going to pretty much... kneel to any, you know.
Up and, well, he was ready to throw it all away when Lord Walder was making all those crude comments about
his wife,
Tyrese or whatever her name is.
Tylisa.
You never learn her name. I know. Now you never have to.
Tylisa. Oh my God! When that guy thrust those daggers into her womb, that was just physically just like, no, I can't watch. That's not
like,
right.
That's like the first. The first action, he just kind of goes up behind her and stab, stab, stab.
That was the first action.
And that's something none of us have seen or anticipated.
It was like a prison
turned over
killing.
Turned over in our minds or anything. I was wondering what they were going to do with her in the whole story. I thought she might live. They might keep her alive. I don't know why they would have, but I guess I was just hoping.
Well, Jane Westerling survived in the book, and there was a whole other sort of subplot around her and how the Lannisters... sort of through pulling some strings, got Jane Westerling's mother to
marry her to some...
I mean, it doesn't... None of that would apply to this season now. I'm just leery of ever seeing anything from the book that didn't materialize.
Yeah, but I mean...
She's dead.
She's dead.
No, I know. But that it wasn't her. I know.
Well, it was.
Go on.
I mean...
Go on.
What it was they speculated, or just to make sure that Jane Westerling wasn't carrying... the heir to Winterfell in her womb or whatever, the Lannisters kind of got her mother to feed her moon tea or whatever to make sure that even if she had been pregnant, she would have lost the baby.
Right, which they said was something else.
Oh, they
disguised their intent, didn't they?
Yeah. No, they were like giving her some sort of fertility potion were telling her, right? Yeah, it was even more insidious than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, nasty stuff.
Nasty.
And they really, I mean, they did in their own way for the show... Like the sort of little recapping, Rob and Kat have their powwow with the, you know, little chess pieces on the map.
Right.
And, which reminds me, you saw the little flayed men
upside
representing
down.
the Bolton's men.
Mm-hmm.
I had missed it in an earlier episode, but there was a good shot of a banner for the Boltons, which... showed like the big X-shaped cross thing that the flayed man was hanging from. Did we talk about this already?
No.
I don't think so.
Well, so I think that's symbolic. It's never described that way, I don't think, in the books. But it's like the thing that Theon's been tortured on.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
Did we talk about that basically? That's a kind of a spoiler too, but I don't know.
Not Not really.
Because Theon's torturer never did reveal who he was to Theon.
Well, that's not a spoiler then.
Except that within the show, there's the symbolism of Theon's been hanging on that X thing, and Bolton's got that X thing on his banner.
Isn't that just what you flay people on? You know,
X's.
X's.
You can flay people on all the letters of the alphabet.
Prove it.
But then, and the moment with Tylisa and Rob right there, you know, just kind of like, oh, the whole thing of let's, if it's a son, we'll name it Ned, you know, and Kat's looking on like her heart is bursting, just like, oh, thank goodness there's some good.
Yeah, because, I mean, everybody's really happy and partying it up beforehand, you know. Rob's happy.
Rob also made nice with Kat when he asked her for her. He's like, I'm asking you for advice. Like, they kind of bury the hatchet before other things get buried.
He had to admit how wrong he was about Theon. I mean, he's got to regret the hell out of that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I miss the great John. I wish he would have been there. Fighting.
Why is he not there?
He was just one cast member too many.
Yeah.
But they did have the Blackfish, who conveniently excused himself to go pee.
Yeah.
Which might lead some folks to believe that he was in on the deception.
Eee.
But that remains to be seen. They could not have built the Blackfish up so much this season just to abandon his character. So we'll see more of him, I'm sure. I don't know. What else about the Red Wedding? Anything else? I mean, Lord Walder, the actor who portrayed Lord Walder, was pretty perfect.
Yeah.
Just leering from the dais.
Yeah.
Drinking his wine and just drinking it all in with his eyes, like relishing every dirty moment.
I don't care if you kill her, I'll find another wife.
Oh, and what about Kat and her desperate, maniacal final moments?
Yeah.
Well, I think that came off as, you know, did in the book pretty well.
So much blood in that scene. Yeah.
Whoa. That ending was, I was going to say that I feel like there was a little beat, a couple too many beats between the initial plunging and shooting and crossbowing and when everything else kind of wrapped up, you know, when they did their bit. Rob and Kat both seemed a little too uninjured in a way, you know, I mean.
With the crossbow bolts sticking out of them, they still were kind of.
I mean, what do you think would happen to one of us if one of those crossbow bolts went? We would go down and not get back up.
Yeah, I mean, probably. I think Kat only had like the one through the shoulder issue.
I thought she had it in the back, didn't she?
It was kind of
okay. Well, they both seemed a little too still capable, I guess. And then it seems like there's a little too much time between. I was going to say they started to lose me, but then at the end, Jesus, I mean. That was so fucking graphic. Like, there's no way that could have been any more graphic. And then the no ending credit music. God.
Did we look in the credits? Was there a throat cut unit in this one?
There needed to be.
With like 30 people on it?
Jeez.
They probably went through their blood budget.
It's somber. I can't even make a joke right now, you know?
What about poor Arya?
Oh, God. She witnesses.
She got all the way in there. She got to watch them kill Grey Wind and slash the throats of a bunch of Stark Bannermen dining in the courtyard.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird because they were all supposed to be out in the tents or whatever, but that's fine.
Minor plot difference.
Yeah, minor.
But she didn't, I mean, God, poor Arya. Just death follows her wherever she goes.
Yeah.
I mean, she's there. She's on the cusp of her family reunion. And then just death just drops around her.
We said that last time, too, or two episodes ago. We were just like, fuck, she, you know, she's growing up fast because she's just had the worst life.
She's right there when Ned dies. She's right there when her brother and mother.
She doesn't know, though.
Wow.
I mean, she might have assumed before she got smacked in the back of the head by the Hound.
That was a cool scene on the road with the Hound, where the Hound takes the pig farmer, or, you know, threatens to kill him or whatever, and... They have that whole interplay, and then, so, you know, Arya begs him...
Not to kill him.
But then she, like, you know, beans him.
I've seen you kill little boys and old men and kind of putting him down a little bit like he can...
I think he fascinates, or she fascinates him in a way. I think he's just, a couple things she said got in his face this episode, I'm like, oh, God, he's going to smack her across the face, and he was just, like, stunned.
They were both goading each other.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like no love lost, really, but there's kind of a grim respect between them.
Especially when, I mean, she's like, I know the story about, you know, your brother burning you in the fire. And I guess
it gives him pause.
Season one where, you know, I think Baelish tells
Varys.
Well, I think he tells a story too. I guess Arya's there and Sansa, and then he's like, "Don't ever say this to him, or he'll kill you." And then she pretty much is like, "I know how you got burned. Your brother smashed your face in the fire.
Anything to get him at that moment."
Yeah, she was really trying to get under his skin, and he hit her right back with, "When your daddy's neck got plucked by Illyn Payne," or whatever it was. Nice Illyn Payne callback. We haven't heard of him in a while, but I think we're going to see more of him pretty soon.
Joffrey, Cersei, Illyn Payne, the Hound, etc.
Sir Meron is in there too.
Sir Trant.
Then we get the
Sir Boros Blount.
Sir Mix-a-Lot. I made a joke. I'm back, guys.
Yay!
Yeah.
Craig's back. In black. Nope. Arya's going to definitely stab the Hound through the eye.
That was harsh. I mean, of all the harsh shit they were saying to each other, that was right through the harshest. Their eyes.
Just like, he was just kind of like,
damn.
Yeah, he's just like, so when he was carrying her off, just curious from a watcher's perspective, did you get the impression or did you get the vibe that he was, I mean, he can no longer take her back to Catelyn and Rob and get his ransom that he was seeking. She's still maybe a valuable prisoner. Do you think he feels like he's stuck with her in any way?
If he truly was only holding on to her for a ransom, he might have abandoned her there.
A lot of trouble.
I think he's so directionless now. I think maybe it's just kind of a thing where I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do with her, but I'm not going to give her up till I figure it out.
He's another guy who, anytime he goes to do something, kind of gets derailed. Like just, okay, well.
Shit, I can't get my gold now. Now what? God damn it.
Well, my gold gets stolen. Here's another opportunity. That didn't pan out.
Well, he does know that the Lannisters would pay for her as well, but he doesn't want to.
Did he want to mess with them at all?
He doesn't want to go anywhere near the Lannisters again.
So do you think we're done with that whole storyline for the last episode? Do you think they're going to come back to that at all?
Oh, as far as where the Hound and Arya end up?
Or even back to, like, the aftermath of the slaughter.
Well, I think we saw the scenes from next week.
I didn't really see much of
it. Wasn't it someone up on the tower of the twins looking out over all the
burned
all the men huts. Turning on each other and campfires and so forth. So we'll see a little bit of fallout from that. Maybe we'll see some sort of interplay between Roose Bolton and Lord Walder as to troop positioning and so forth from that point forward. But otherwise, we're not going to see anything else of Robert. You know what? Maybe we'll get a glimpse of what happened to the Blackfish. Maybe we'll see him slinking away, but apart from that.
How close is he supposed to be to Kat? Pretty close, right?
The Blackfish, yeah, he was a beloved uncle. But, they hadn't seen each other in 20 years or something. So.
Right.
But, yeah, they grew close over the past few episodes. But now, we will also see what became of Edmure. Because even though Lord Walder slaughtered everyone, he still wants his daughter to bear the heir to the House of Tully. And so his granddaughter then will become the Lord of Riverrun, as long as he keeps Edmure prisoner and makes sure his daughter gets pregnant.
All right.
So that's kind of partially his motivation for being on his best behavior up until the bedding, and that's why all the shit went down after the bedding.
Gotta get the guy out of there safe before you start.
Edmure will be up there impregnating his wife while his family's eventually being slaughtered downstairs.
I mean, she's not even a woman.
Yeah.
Flowered the yet.
Same. No, it's not the same.
He pulled out like the hot chick from.
He didn't reveal Rosalind
right
earlier when he was showing all the others. So that wasn't very well.
I was like
spelled out on the show. I don't think, but it was supposed to be like surprise. I kept the cute one a secret.
Rob, you could have had her. Oh,
yeah. Which would be his only motivation for doing it. Like that. Yeah, is just to make Rob regret his.
Which Edmure's pretty happy. You see him get a little goofy grin on his face. He's like, oh
yeah. Which was perfect.
Yeah.
And him getting all excited when all the ladies are pulling his clothes off.
The idiots get all the good luck, or whatever the Blackfish says.
God's reward a fool or something like that.
Yeah.
Well,
shall we go across the Narrow Sea?
Let's.
Hop on a boat.
That was the the best swordplay we've seen on this show ever, maybe.
Yeah. It was a couple hitches here and there, but overall it was all right. I like them working as a well-oiled team.
Even though they have never fought side right. by side before.
They're all great warriors.
Yeah, they're just too good.
Yeah.
They all instinctively know.
And totally different styles. That was pretty cool. Yeah. Like, you know, whether you're doing the classic Briton sword and shield or the spear work of the Unsullied or the curved
Arak.
Or is that the Klingon thing? Are we confusing it?
Well, it's
Batak, Arak. Any curved blade has to rhyme with that. Scimitar, it doesn't rhyme.
No, but it's not. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool.
We've got the old throw the knife to save the guy, or, you know, when the guy's sneaking up behind you.
Was Grey Worm fighting with a spear?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He was spearing guys.
So it was a little confusing when all those other soldiers came out. I was like, well, what? And then they cut away, and then the next thing we see is Daenerys is like, well, what's happening? It takes a long time to sack a city, I guess, right? Or whatever. And then they walk in, and it's like, well, shit, were they taken captive and released, or...
Yeah.
Or did you get the whole city, or is the gate open and you're ready to strike? I mean, it's like the timeline.
Three guys sacked the city. That's what happened.
They incited enough rebellion with their. Because
it mentioned that they threw down their swords.
Well, he said it happened as you said it would, that the slave warriors would basically turn on their masters. But.
So there was a speech in there somewhere that we didn't see. Someone was like, hang on. Just listen for a minute.
Just because the three of them snuck in the Black Gate, that was their sort of cue to hand the whole city over to Daenerys. They just needed somebody on her side to get within the walls to tip them off that was the deal. Maybe it was. I mean, maybe somehow the slave masters probably didn't convey her message to the other slaves. But that was kind of the whole point of a couple episodes ago when she treated with the slave master, that everything she said, like, his slaves were present and they were overhearing. So when she said, if you let all your slaves go or whatever, then we won't sack your city and we'll set them all free, those slaves ought to have sort of snuck back and
told everybody.
Sure.
Unless they had done a thing where the slave master, like, had those slaves killed before he returned to the city. Right. Just to, you know, to emphasize the point that he thought that was
because otherwise, the poor slaves that, what's his name, kills to get in, they could have been like, no, oh, it's you guys, just come in.
What didn't you say?
Nope, I'm going to slit your throat instead, sorry.
Well, Dario, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's just trying to impress.
That was a good conversation pre where they go into the city, where he kind of makes his little move around, gets a little hand touch there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to impress Danny and succeeding.
Oh, my God.
Definitely. What's his name? Mormont's a little jealous.
Yeah.
Oh, when he came back and he was so crestfallen that he, you know, the conquering victor comes back to tell her how he did, and she's just like, where's the other guy?
Yeah. right here with this cloak.
Thanks, old bear. Now, where's the hot young guy?
And he comes in and makes a nice big show. And
ooh, young bear.
Kneels and...
He's bathed in blood.
Were we supposed to possibly think that Mormont thought he was lost in battle? Because she's like, where is he? And no one says shit. And then suddenly he's like, shushing.
Well, my impression was he knew he was right behind her. But he wanted to have his moment with Daenerys, and she was...
Or he wanted to kind of see her reaction if he didn't. If he was like...
I don't know.
Was his name Dario?
Yeah.
Dario.
And what if Dario... Fuck him! He didn't say that. He wanted to.
Dario got a dig in on Mormont, too, when they were having their sort of planning their...
Sesh.
Their
hot sesh.
When he's like, you're very suspicious.
That's... Untrustworthy people.
Which is a terrible thing to say to Mormont, because he's...
Because he is guilty about being untrustworthy, or having...
Well, no, he said, what did he say about untrustworthy people? That you can't trust them. But Mormont said, you can trust him.
Can you?
Well, except for those two times.
Except for those two times.
Okay. What a two-timer.
Three-timer.
He had to put Lord Barristan in his place a little bit.
Yep, and he took it.
Yeah, he took it.
He's like, yeah.
He understands.
So, apparently, Daenerys has taken Yun Kai.
Yeah.
I don't know if on to the next slave city next episode already, or...
I saw some dragons being released in the preview.
Yeah, some things are going to happen.
We'll find out next week.
A lot went down. Okay, so then I think we kind of covered everything except for the adventures of Bran and Jon.
Right.
Which they finally, their paths crossed.
Right. They go to...
The Wildlings.
The Wildlings and Jon. They're looking at the horse breeder guy.
Yep. Oh, just let him go. Let's grab the horse. Just let the guy go.
Jon finally has to...
Jon clanks his sword on the rock, so the horse gets... Warning. The horse gets spooked. The guy...
But Jon can't hold out any longer. He basically has to prove that he's still a crow.
Yep.
He's unwilling to murder the guy.
Oral was right.
Well, actually, I mean, he almost did. But Ygritte didn't really give him a chance to fail.
Ygritte's really...
She's a true wildling.
She's a true wildling. She was a little torn for a second. Like, she...
She didn't want to accept that Jon...
But
she didn't want to accept.
When he rides off on that horse, she's got a glare in her.
Yeah.
She's pissed.
She's pissed. She has to... Now the people, her own people that she has to stay with, who some of were slain, she has to now be like, fuck, you're right.
Well, yeah. Now she's got a bone to pick of sorts. I mean, she already was all in with the mission.
Right.
But her own agenda is shot to shit now.
And she already had her suspicions, I mean.
Well, she wasn't even suspicious. She sort of knew, but she thought she was kind of winning him over or getting him to accept this new situation.
She went to bat for him a lot.
Yep.
Despite the taunts.
I mean, you think, seeing all the other episodes that, you know, Jon and Ygritte, I mean, they think they're closer, and then he just, boom, turns and is willing to ride off. And
well, I mean, yeah, she was like, you're my guy, I'm your woman, if you ever screw that up, I'll cut your balls off.
Yep.
This is a real thing.
It was good.
Well, there was no time to talk about it. It was all action, and all the wildlings had their blood up and swords out, and man, there's a lot of warging going on this week, too.
What do we think about, I mean... So they arrive at the little tower or whatever, which, compared to the book, is a little disappointing to me.
The one in the book that was described as super cool.
Yeah, it's out, like, in the middle of a lake, basically, and there's the path just kind of hidden under the water that you kind of have to walk on.
That was a bunch of unnecessary sets and set dressing and scouting that they probably were just like...
Well, it was cool. It made it a little closer to the action if they're... I mean, it definitely...
Budgetary concerns have made all of the interesting architecture just go away.
Yeah.
But
except for the sept.
Well, I mean, it was more interesting. In the book, the holdfast, the tower in the middle of the lake with sort of the hidden path under the water to get to it, they seemed more safe there, even though all this fighting was kind of going on nearby the shore of the lake. I guess, but it still played out the same. Like, Hodor was freaking out because of the lightning,
yep.
And they all were all freaking out because he was making so much noise he was going to give them away. And so then that pushed Bran to skinwalk in Hodor for a second.
Which I thought was like a huge no-no ever, right?
Well, I mean, nobody knows.
Nobody can do it.
No,
right?
in the book it was known to be done, and it was expressly forbidden, I thought.
I don't know who... That seems familiar, but I don't know who had that conversation or why.
Wasn't there a guy from the past that had done it, and it was like...
You go crazy.
Super frowned upon and all that.
You know, maybe it was something... I think it was kind of like... There's another warg character who has an internal monologue thing.
Six Skins?
Yeah, Six Skins.
Or was it a different guy?
Six Skins. He's a character in like the prologue chapter of A Feast for Crows or A Dance with Dragons.
That sounds right.
And so you kind of get a lot of, and he's like the expert warg next to Orel. He was like akin to Orel as an expert warg among the wildlings.
And he had like a panther or something, didn't he?
He had three different animals that he skinwalked in or skin is Ma- that.
Skin
shape. That he warged in. He warged in. He had like a hawk.
Yeah.
And he had a cat, like a and
a leopard or something.
Also something else. But he was jealous of John's wolf, I think. But he was thinking about what wargs are capable of and what is appropriate for them to do or not. And so I think maybe that's where he was like, I can't do it in people, but I sure wish I could, or something like that.
I guess I didn't remember, and this could totally be my faulty memory, totally possible, that I didn't seem to remember Bran having a completely unique gift or ability that everyone was like, oh, I remember what it was. It was a thousand within a thousand. It was a one in a thousand people are able to do something, and then one of those thousand are able to do something else. Do you remember that conversation or that dialogue in the book?
No.
Okay. Something
with Jojen.
I feel like it was Jojen that was saying, "Listen, man, you know,
one in a thousand can have green dreams, and one in a thousand of those can be a warg or something like that."
Really? One warg is one in a million, and there's just three or four of them just hanging out. I guess Jojen can't do that.
I don't know, but I mean, some conversation conveyed just how special Bran's ability is.
Yeah.
Well, they accomplished that with this episode.
I think they did. This is a little earlier than it happens in the book. I don't think he.
Well,
I just kind of read through the part where he does it to Hodor, and it's later time.
You know, I don't know. It happens in this book,
right?
Yeah,
I think they.
I was just gonna say, Bran does a lot of sudden growing up decision making. Right there, he does the first thing to Hodor. He decides to split up Rickon and Osha and the rest of the group.
Oh yeah,
like pretty adult decision making type of stuff.
Rickon had his most significant
anything. Yeah,
yeah, it was okay.
I did a good scene between brothers.
Yeah, I forget he can talk now.
Yeah, he's not just a little baby.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, and he can act.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. It was. I mean, compared to a lot of kids his age, he was pretty convincing.
No, it was good. That was. I mean, that's a key thing that we've sort of been waiting for a while in the books.
It's already happened by then. I think they've already split up.
Yes, that it.
And it's OSHA's decision to do it, and not Bran.
It was OSHA's. OSHA didn't have to have that whole thing of I'm afraid to go back north of the wall again. It was more like for their
own. We need to split up.
We need to split up shortly after they sort of abandoned Winterfell. So then, yeah, OSHA and Rickon disappear for a good long time. You don't see them for a long time. So it's kind of cool we got to see them a little bit longer. I think they really made a conscious decision to make OSHA a significant character. Maybe that's one of those things where Martin is like, you got to have OSHA because I got plans for OSHA.
Could be.
And it gave Bran a little, I mean, to put the decision on him, it made him a little, you know, made him grow up a little bit more instead of just, you know, being some kid. And
yeah. And Bran also acknowledged, maybe for the first time, his true lineage, that he's would be the heir. Because he tells Rickon, he's like, oh, if, you know, Rob's at war, and if something happens to me, you'll be the heir. So he's acknowledging his own regalness there.
And he's going to the Umbers, so maybe the Great John will show back up at some point.
That's why it hurts so bad that the Umbers weren't around. That they, I mean, don't if you're not going to have the Great John, don't talk about Umbers on the show at all.
God damn it.
But that was good. So, you know, it's clear that Jojen and Meera and Bran and Hodor are getting close to the wall. And Sam and Gilly are getting close to the wall from the other side. And Sam tells all that stuff about a secret gate in the Night Fort. And he's sort of aiming for it.
Or as he would say, Night Fart. He just kept... it was hard to keep a straight face because, the Night Fart.
Oh, he got that grin on his face when Gilly called him a wizard.
Oh, yeah.
That was so... I mean, we get it. She's simple. She's really simple.
But do you remember, I always wanted to be a wizard. that's like a meme thing, too, isn't it?
No, it's, you had one job. You had one job.
So some shit's going to go down. I mean, Jon rode off from the Wildlings.
Yep. After he got his face pecked by the eagle, finally.
Oh, yeah. Are we to...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Orel, he got...
He skinwalked real quick after he got stabbed.
That, I mean, is that pretty clear? That
he's in the eagle now.
Into the bird, and then the bird attacked?
I think... I don't know if it's clear that Orel still has some part of his consciousness within the bird, but I think it's pretty clear that the bird hates Jon.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
But that really happened way back in the books. That bird attacking Jon's face thing happened...
Because he kills Orel, like...
Before he ever killed Corrin Halfhand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, a long time ago.
So they really saved that for a while.
I liked it. It was like, oh, yeah. You stab him, then skinwalk, then...
I'm glad they got that in there. But it's just still seems like an awful lot of warging all at once.
Yeah, there was a lot of...
Wouldn't there be more people... If I was a warg and I knew that if I transferred my consciousness into an animal and then my host body was killed, I might ask someone to do it to me. Because, you know, you can just, like, be a bird for the rest of your life. It sounds pretty awesome.
Birds don't live as long as humans, so.
Maybe this one will.
Well, I think maybe that was part of Sixskin's internal monologue reflecting on if you war again the same animal for too long, you lose yourself in it or something.
Yeah, that seems... I mean, it seems like there was a list of rules. I don't know if I'm...
Warging 101?
Yeah, exactly.
But he was also kind of playing fast and loose with the rules by having more than one animal that he kept.
That's true.
Shit like that.
Well, he couldn't help it. He got addicted.
Addicted to warging. It's easy. Easy to do.
First animal's free.
Might as well face it.
First animal's free. Well.
Mike. It's fine.
Oh, did we miss anything?
What else?
Is that?
I feel there wasn't, there weren't a lot of, there weren't as many set pieces as there usually are in an episode. I guess I get why.
We kind of had, three main storylines, I guess.
Intersected. And,
yep.
Yeah. We didn't see anything in the South.
Nothing at King's Landing.
No.
So we'll get caught up on all that next week. Oh, it looks like from the scenes that Jaime is going to return to King's Landing. He's going to make it and face his father again.
I didn't see it. Was it in a preview?
Yeah.
Was he bald?
Jaime?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Okay. He looked like he was just fresh from the road.
Because he was bald at one point in the books, remember? When he didn't want to be.
Yeah.
He changes his, well, he's, Jaime's still evolving.
Oh. Am I getting things mixed up?
Well, you're getting a little ahead.
Well, I don't think someone being bald is as much of a spoiler. So, sorry, everyone. Jaime goes bald. He doesn't go bald. He elects
to, never mind. He elects to go bald?
He goes into the Royal Barber in the Red Keep and says, I need a makeover.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well,
we can't podcast over 45 minutes in length when our fourth man isn't here.
Phil blew it. Phil's been kind of pining for more action all season long. And
so he watched a hockey game instead.
Phil blew it because the Blackhawks didn't. So,
well, I guess it's still a triumph.
For the Blackhawks.
For the Blackhawks. Not for us. All right, let's see if we can get you a cough drop or something.
All right,
turn your head and cough, Craig.
I'm going to go find a cough drop.